thank you for coming out tonight.
Hi, Paul. Thank you for having us.
My name is Paul Pelka. I'm plan manager with the city. We haven't been together for a while, actually since June at the Storefront Studio. We started this a little over a year ago, so we've come a long way since we had that January visioning workshop, but it's good to have you coming back together again. A lot of things going on tonight. We'll get into some, I think, some really good issues and good exercises. Make it worth your while. Why don't we just go around the table real quick and just introduce yourselves, and then we'll talk a little bit about what's coming up. Steve, you want to start?
Oh, Steve Jensen, Planning Commissioner.
Jeff Sherwood, Planning Commissioner.
That's me.
Wait.
Yeah. Rob Eagling, Parks Board and School District.
Rick Hansen, Citizen Advisory Committee.
Who is it with the Chamber of Commerce?
Sue Grafstra, Citizen Advisory Committee.
Diane Dirks, the Planning Commission, Commissioner and Park Board.
Wichita Planning Commissioner.
Shauna, Park Board.
Karen Coppernall, Park Board.
Tammy Beaumont, Park Board and the Monroe Historical Society.
Okay. Well, we're glad you're here. In the back, we've got Melissa Place from our office and Aaron Citizen and Brad Feilberg, our Public Works Director. Tina Lavelle, she's in our planning department. And I see Brandy back there. And
I'm Aaron.
Aaron, welcome. Let me introduce Bill Grimes. I think you've all met him before, and I think we all know each other from past workshops. But let me introduce Bill to get this thing kicked off. Bill's going to do a short, hopefully short presentation, and then we'll get our hands on these exercises and have some fun with some things.
Great, thanks, Paul. Yeah, my job is, as usual, is to just talk enough and only enough so that you can get into the exercise and tell me what's on your mind. But let me go ahead and move into this quickly. We've been through quite a process. You probably remember when this started off, we had topical capsules that we worked our way through. The first one was a visioning exercise that we had back in January, and then we've had subsequent topic-focused exercises since then. Economic development, parks and recreation, and land use. Land use was held during our storefront studio. But we have all of the worksheets from those previous workshops on the stage. So if during the course of the exercise tonight you want to refresh your memory on what some of that conversation was and some of the results were, you can go ahead and just hit those at your leisure. We've been working on actually preparing the plan document. We got together back in June to talk about some of the more salient issues that have come out of the workshop and how we might want to define those into a plan for you. And we got stuck on a couple of things, and that's why we needed to have this meeting tonight, so you could see where we've come, but you can also help move us off of being high-centered on some pretty important policy issues. And so we'll talk about those here in a little bit. So we're in the middle of this phase here, plan preparation, and then we'll go into Planning Commission Park Board review and then City Council action. And we need to be done with this process by June 30th of next year. So we're kind of getting to that point. In the world of planning, that's a very short time. So we're kind of getting to that point where we have to really get material delivered to you. During the workshop series, there are several things that came up as issues where people were generally coming together with a level of consensus that Monroe needs to enhance its neighborhood connections, that it needs to take advantage of its access to the river, that it needs to prioritize local business, should diversify the local economy, should act to preserve its hillside, should revitalize downtown, reinforce active lifestyles and active living, and find ways to provide some higher paying jobs. Okay, that's just been something of a consistent message. Part of what we need to do is to deliver to you an economic development strategy. In order for us to deliver an economic development strategy, we have to understand what your economic development aspirations are. And so we have these six principles that underpin really every facet of the planning that we're doing. So let's just take a second here to look at these six underpinning principles, and as we look at the exercise tonight, try to keep some of these things in mind. They are the overarching principles that are really intended to guide our hand overall. have a thriving downtown with a vibrant Main Street, that Monroe is a great place to start and grow a business, that Monroe is both an outdoor and adventure destination, that we practice smart growth and attain fiscal balance in the long haul, that Monroe strengthens and retains its position as a complete regional retail center, and that in all of this, Monroe is an accessible, walkable, connected community. So you are able to maintain the type of scale that really makes this entire town the hometown that you want to be in. Okay, so those are the things that we see as our economic development underpinning principles. So when we think about where we've come from in this process, there are several topics that drew our attention. And some of those topics were really important to you as participants through this process, and some were not necessarily as important as others. And so when we start thinking about those overriding and underpinning economic development principles, we see that the difference between where we are and where we want to be is pronounced in these three areas first. You know, we'd like to have a stronger downtown, a more vibrant Main Street than the one that we have today. We'd like to be more walkable and interconnected than we are. We also want to make sure that we really are that environment for small and mid-sized businesses to start up and to flourish. Some of the other things that we seem to be doing okay with, but there are opportunities for us still to strengthen our position, is in regional retail, our positioning in outdoor adventure types of lifestyles, and that we also become, or maybe even retain, what attractiveness we have. We become more attractive as a retirement community. So we have this kind of opportunity. When we were talking about family-friendly Monroe, part of that is also making sure that we can accommodate and serve the generations as we age out. Family-friendly doesn't necessarily just mean kids. It means the entire life cycle. And there are some areas that, you know, we'd like to make sure that we do well in, but, you know, we're okay. We don't necessarily have to concentrate too much of our policy in these areas because they're either taking care of themselves because the market is doing it for us, or it just seems to be the natural course of business for Monroe. So not a lot of transformation when it comes to being affordable, family-friendly, or as a Seattle metro part of that overall metropolitan economic region. So we had our storefront studio. Many of you attended during that time. We spent 3 days actively working of consultant time during that week. And we have some planning commissioners and other volunteers. Some of you are here around the horseshoe tonight. Thank you very much for your time. And then the last couple of days, we had staff involvement and advisory committee members running it too. So it was a nice segue where the community had a chance to own that studio as well. It wasn't just a consultant process. However, these are three of your loyal, dedicated consultants working away in the studio. The core of that studio exercise was finding a way that the community could consider futures for Monroe that were different. You know, how do we look at the future of this community through different lenses and then compare them and see where it is that we really want to go? So we looked at different scenarios, and this is the stuff that we talked about in June a little bit, where we had a 3-in-1 Monroe, where we are recognizing the fact that Monroe really is just, if you were to take a step away and look at the town, you would probably see three distinct areas emerging. You've got the hillside, you've got the highway corridor, and then you've got the rest. So one of the things that was how do we maximize that sense of identity for each of those three areas? We had another scenario that was river first. You know, great treasure, the Skykomish River and Woods Creek right there, right next door. So that scenario was saying, let's do everything we can to take advantage of that adjacency. Let's move everything so it orients to the river and we get that type of affiliation with that natural environment. The second one was, hey, you know, we're doing okay. We don't need to necessarily change much of anything. So let's perpetuate the policies that we've got. And that probably means we're going to have to expand our urban growth area to accommodate our forecast population growth, but still it's working for us, so let's not rush to change much. And then the fourth alternative was what we call village hub. You know? So how do we introduce a new development style, a new housing style, maybe a new retail style, so that we can accentuate town center and maybe some other commercial centers throughout the community as well, so you really get that kind of a village center identification. So four different ways of looking at the community were part of the studio session. And what came out of it, and again, this is something we talked about in June, was a sense of maximizing Monroe, which was our studio name, but we've refined that since to be more like optimizing Monroe. We're not really in a hurry to expand the urban growth area, but we still have to accommodate population, and we want to see more employment, and we want to see more retail development. So how do we take advantage of our existing land resource to accomplish those objectives? You know, and while we're looking at accommodating population growth and providing more jobs and providing more economic activity in general, we also want to make sure that we honor the lifestyle types that we have here in Monroe, but we don't sacrifice the kind of character, the kind of small town components that make this town what it is. So that's where this optimizing Monroe scenario came from. And in June, we asked you to see if we were on the right track. And generally, the answer was yes. That's kind of what we're after here. We broke it down into a couple of different exercises where you took a look at some of the topics that emerged in that conversation. And we've gone through your answers and responses to that exercise that we had in June. You know, many of the things that we were thinking about, you gave us some course correction on. You know, you said, okay, that's a really good thought, but maybe your assumption is a little bit off. Or maybe you're hitting it with too broad a brush. We need to be more focused here and more deliberate in how we suggest that this occur. So we've paid attention to what you were telling us there, and we've come up with a way that is beginning to really take shape. But like I said before, we're stuck on some pretty important policy issues. One of our challenges is to translate this more global sense of policy direction into something that really is very specific, something that's going to give you as the community and Paul and Mayor and Brad and Mike as city officials what you need to have on hand to make good decisions. And then as planning commissioners, what you need to have on hand to make solid recommendations for policy direction in the future. So that means that we really do have to tie it down to a level of detail. And one of the things that we have to do is we have to develop this kind of a spatial construct so that we can give you solid land use planning, parks and recreation planning, economic development planning ties between what the community has been telling us and how that actually translates to land use regulation and overall policy. So when we look at Monroe, we do see it as a community that is grown over time, and the town has developed different character areas related to the era in which different parts of it were developed. It also has different character areas that are related to the different geography where things are happening and things going on. And so one of the first things that we did since the studio was to identify some very high-level essential characteristics that define the character of Monroe and also the kind of expectation that people have of different areas of this community. So we have this Region A in Monroe, which is really oriented to regional commerce, regional employment, regional transportation. The essence of Area A is really that kind of a regional corridor that goes through the entirety of Monroe. That's not the place where you see ranches or single-family homes or a lot of schools. I mean, it really is that kind of regional commerce, regional industry district. You know, it's pretty intuitive. Area B, we're calling just for shorthand purposes the hometown Monroe, but it really is that kind of an original town site feel as it's morphed to the west to incorporate the Freilands area. But it's kind of it's a slower pace. It's a walkable area. It's got that intimate connection to downtown and Main Street corridor. You know, there's a real residential small town feel to that part of Monroe. Area C we're calling the Skycomish Greenway, which for obvious reasons we're calling the Skycomish Greenway because it is the River of Woods Creek and the floodplain associated with it. And then Area D is the North Hill, which is really predominantly a residential area divided into single family, some attached family development, but it's suburban in many ways. And where this has kind of a regional orientation in terms of commerce, industry, and recreation, this also has something of regional orientation because many of the households here are employed elsewhere. or they leave this district and go someplace, even in Monroe, to work or for their daily needs. So I mean, there's a different character there. You see, the transportation needs of this area are different than the transportation needs of this area. Now, we understand that that is really a very broad brush look at Monroe. And ultimately, we need to get to a land use plan. But we also have to figure out strategies that take into account this kind of district-wide identity, but then also the more finer-grained interrelationships of the kinds of land uses that are going on inside this area. Now, this is not a future land use map. This is still very conceptual. This is high level. This is so we can begin to understand how things interrelate and why those relationships are important. This is not trying to distinguish between what's 2 units per acre and what's 5 units per acre. That comes next. But this is that kind of a conceptual understanding of this community that helps us propose policies that make sense. I mean, ultimately, it will turn into something like this, which is your existing future land use map. And we've been working on that. We've been working on a future land use map that really is that parcel-by-parcel designation of what land use will likely be in 20 years. You know, we're working on that. And what we're finding is that for a large extent, there isn't going to be much in the way of change proposed in that future land use map compared to what you have today. Areas that are parks will continue to be parks. Areas that are proposed for single-family development will generally continue to be areas proposed for single-family development. Downtown stays downtown. Your commercial districts along Highway 2 remain your commercial districts along Highway 2. That kind of stuff really isn't going to change to any significant degree. But what we're finding out, though, is that the question is really, how do you manage that? How do you manage it to capture the kind of evolution and transformation that the community seems to want that we're hearing as a result of this process? And that's the essence of our policy exercise tonight. So we have 6 policy questions, and we're going to ask you to divide up into groups of 3, and it's kind of nice. We have 4 groups of 3 here at the table tonight. Mayor, you're welcome to participate as make one group of 4. But we're going to ask you to work in these small groups and study these policy things that are really going to require a little bit of thinking. We've had a lot of fun up to this point. And we're going to have some fun tonight, but it's going to be a different kind of fun. It's going to require you to think abstractly about some of these policy options and give us guidance on where you want us to move forward. So during the exercise, you're going to tell us how much change you want to see. We're setting it up from mild to maximum. We were going to say mild to wild, but that's just a little too big. From mild to maximum. Mild is more of a status quo position. Maximum is one that's more transformative for these various topics. And we'll get into that. And then we're going to ask you to suggest some things that we can do to actually make that mild or more maximum policy direction happen. And we've got some prompts. We have some examples on these worksheets that you can follow. And you can say, yeah, that's right. Or, no, that really doesn't feel wrong. So let's talk a little bit about the 6 policy areas, and then I'll turn it over to you, and then Paul, Melissa, Mike, Brad, and I will facilitate the conversations with you. But let me just talk about these 6 topics right away. The first one is the Frylands Triangle. What a complex place is the Frylands Triangle. If you look back to this map here, the Frylands Triangle is what's shown in purple. So it's bounded by Highway 2 on the north, and the canal on the south, the industrial district, and includes Lake Tye. So the Frylands Triangle has a lot going on. To the north, it has the fairgrounds on Highway 2. To the west, it includes Lake Tye and the potential for a fairly spectacular regional recreation resource. To the south, it has a residential project that, except for one place, is separate from the Frylands Industrial Park. So part of what we were after as a level of connectivity in our neighborhoods. Maybe that also means improving connectivity from residential areas to where we have people working. So anyway, that's something to think about. And there's also the potential for development around the hospital and the medical center on 179. So when we look at Frylands, it's not only what's happening here in the employment district. It's its relationship to what's around it and its potential for what might be. And you'll see why 179 emerges as an important theme for us here in a little bit. There's also First Airfield, the airport just northwest and north of the Fairgrounds property. You know, it's kind of a sensitive subject. What do we do about the airport? But as we've been working through this process, you know, it's just had this underlying tension. Do we really have to get serious about having an airport in Monroe? Do we facilitate its increased use and maybe its more intense development as an airport facility? Or do we think that maybe at some point it's going to become something else? And if it were just the airport property itself that really was what made this conversation relevant, it's probably something that we could put off and not necessarily even think that much about. But the thing about airports is that when you have one, they assert a level of regulatory limitation on the properties around them. So if we're thinking about redevelopment in the Frylands Triangle, and we're thinking about, yes, let's build on the opportunity of the hospital complex, and let's do something pretty special office-wise, you know, really get a medical office community developing there, we start running into potential compatibility issues because of the airport. The city has an airport overlay that prescribes certain types and intensities of development within it. So we have to start thinking about the airport. Is having the airport really worth limiting the development potential for the areas around it? Now, you could probably argue that we don't have the market now for us to really worry about it at this point. But this is a 20-year plan. So one of the things we have to think about is how we begin to have that conversation down the road. It's not necessarily one that we have to have today, but we have to understand that it's going to come up. Now, if the airport operator decides to sell, that's great. Yeah. And I don't think that this is a planned position where we're looking to push the airport in any way out of becoming an airport. We just have to frame that conversation. So we have some policy issues related to First Airfield that we'd like to talk with you about or hear what you have to say. Also, Skykomish connections. Everybody that we talked to in the studio was all about increasing access to the river. It has been a consistent theme throughout all of our conversations. Universal recognition that the river is an amazing resource and we have to find ways to take advantage of it, even if it's just to make sure that we can respect the river and all that it offers. But it's also got some potential for some real economic development gains. So how do we take advantage of the river? So that's something else that we're going to be talking to you about or listening to you, to your opinions on. The county is in the process of updating its Fairgrounds Master Plan. And it is, on its own, it has found ways to optimize the Fairgrounds. If you take a look at that Master Plan, they are really trying to get every ounce of energy out of that property that they can. But it is a plan by the Fairgrounds for the Fairgrounds. And if you were to look at it as a facility that really is as integral to the city of Monroe as some of the people in this process think the Fairgrounds is, then maybe that plan doesn't necessarily achieve all of the objectives that it might otherwise. So, again, that process is fairly well nearing its conclusion. But there will be updates, and there will be investment opportunities in the Fairgrounds. So how do we strengthen the partnership between the city and the county so that the Fairground makes investments as its master planning evolves? It really does integrate into the rest of Monroe the way that people would like it to. Main and 179th. 179th runs from Highway 2 to Main Street. It is one of only a few streets that make it all the way through, that connect the highway to Main Street. If this intersection and this area just south of Highway 2 along 179th really does begin to catch some fire in terms, metaphorically speaking, begins to catch fire in terms of development and interest, and we do see increased development happening along with the hospital, then it just makes sense to have a companion intersection down here where 179th hits Main. I mean, what a nice opportunity to really monument that kind of neighborhood unifying accessibility connectivity that we wanted to see in this plan. So let's pay attention to what's happening here where 179th, right out there, hits Main. You know, the school district, Ralph, you and I were talking earlier, the school district was looking to reinvest in this facility. Okay, that's great. So what else happens around here? how can you build in this area the kind of energy that will really help to establish what needs to be a node at the end of West Main. Well, not necessarily the end of West Main, but you know what I mean. Right here at this part of West Main. And then Vital Kelsey, Vital Downtown. It's pretty clear, and our economic development consultants are telling us that these areas have different roles. They're complementary. They're not in competition so much. Now, you've got a downtown that really caters to and can cater to a pretty specific market. The people who like the boutique shops, the small-scale shops, the unique grocery stores, bookstores, taverns, whatever, cafes. But then we have this regional corridor next door, too. So what are the ways that we can improve the environment for those places to really flourish and really maximize, optimize their level of economic activity? Injecting housing in the downtown, that's something we want to talk about. Beautifying the Highway 2 corridor, that's something we want to talk about. Not necessarily changing the character, but finding ways to really encourage reinvestment. So those are the six topic areas that we want you to dig into. So Paul is working on handing out these worksheets now. And they're pretty intimidating just to look at them. But don't worry, it is every bit as intimidating as it looks. So what we're going to ask you to do is to familiarize yourself. Okay, let me back up. There are six topic areas. We're going to be asking you to work in groups of three. We don't expect that every group of three is going to make it through all six topic areas in the time that we have tonight. We're going to ask you to go through at least three of them. If you can do all six, that's great. If you can do four or five, that's great. But make sure you do three. That way we'll be able to get all of them covered. And then we'll have some conversation about what you come up with when you're done. So we're going to ask you first to take a look at that big black box in the middle and just familiarize yourself with why this is an important issue for us to wrestle with. And then we're going to ask you to consider the more mild policy options or the more maximum. That really sounds silly, the more maximum. But I'm going to stick with it. Or the more maximum policy options. Things on the left are more about status quo, and things on the right are a little bit more transformative. So if you think, hey, this is a really important opportunity for us to take advantage of, then you're probably going to be moving more toward the maximum side. If you think things are basically going okay or the market will take care of it, then maybe you're going to be more on the mild side. Don't need to intervene to that much of a degree. Then after you're done with that, you're going to take a look at those implementing programs, those actions that the city can take to make it happen. So if you're thinking, again, that your policy recommendations were more mild, then maybe your program recommendations are going to be perhaps a little bit more passive, a little bit more market-oriented, less interventionary. Okay, I'm going with that too, on the part of the city. If you think that we need to act more aggressively, then we have some thoughts on what types of programs you might want to consider. Now, for all of those policy options and all those program options, you either have a thumbs up, yeah, that's a good idea, that's not a good idea, or a question mark, you know, I'm not so sure. I need more information, or I just don't know, or whatever. So for those of you who have question marks, we have opportunities for you to write some notes and tell us really what you're thinking. Or if you are suggesting something else that we hadn't thought of, which is entirely likely, you can write it down there and let us know what we should consider. Okay, and the final thing that I'm going to ask you to do, I tell you, we had so much fun designing this worksheet, but once you get into it, you know, it actually will be fun because
sure
yeah okay I may have just erased whatever you built up to this point.
If you'd had treats at the end,
I would have had cupcakes,
hot coffee,
or cookies.
Okay.
So the last.
No, not ice cream. It's too cold.
I do have a beanie. I do have a beanie.
That's right.
That's not going to do
it.
Okay. And then I'd like your group to let us know where on this scale of 1 to 10, from mild to maximum, you think we need to be in terms of policy and in terms of programs.
I can give a start.
That's just so you can see it on the screen.
I can hand out a Sharpie for you.
if you'd like that. Okay, so, Paul, you've got worksheets?
Bring it on, Paul.
Okay, let's turn on the lights. And Paul, Melissa, Brad, and I will be working with you two to help facilitate the conversation. Okay. So, you know what? I probably shouldn't have turned the lights down at all. Okay.
Thank you.
So, for how many of you touched all six pages?
Oh, wow.
You touched them all.
Thank you, Sue Grabstra. Okay, so what I'd like to be able to do, and we'll see how this works, is hear from one group for each of these. And then I'm going to put on a scale where you landed on your thermometer for everybody who touched that group. So who wants to talk to us about their thoughts on Freiland's triangle? Now, Sue Graster, I know your group did one. Is there
another? We didn't find any of the mild crap. We went over to the maximum.
Okay, so you're talking about transformation in the triangle.
Yeah.
Transformation in the triangle.
Yep. We didn't even screw that little stuff. We got to go to the big stuff.
Okay, were there elements in the big stuff that you thought missed the target?
No, because this is all our homework from last year. No, we didn't think there was anything that was really
missed. So are you saying
positive with all of it?
So you're saying you see your thumbprints on
all
those things?
All over it.
Okay.
Yep.
All right.
We got tired and really had a question mark on a couple.
Okay, so Sue Grabstra, you've got then 10 on policy, or 8, 9?
We've got policy, we did 8.
Okay, and what did you do on program?
9.
Okay. Steve, did you guys do number 1? Jeff, did you guys do number 1, you and Ralph?
Yeah, we did.
And where did you wind up on your thermometer for policy?
8.
Okay, and on program?
Same.
Way to go.
Okay. Did you guys?
5.
Oh, they put in the wrong
answer.
Okay, so you didn't touch 1. Anybody else touch 1?
We did 7 for policy and 8 for program.
Okay. But he's anybody else touch 1 in this crowd?
Actually, we did. Sorry about that.
Yes?
Yeah.
Sorry, Rick.
7 and a 7.
7 and a 7.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, so item number 2, first air field.
That was a bad one.
It was not a bad one.
It was 2.
Okay, so...
She's
there. Tammy and Bridget, did you guys do number 2?
Okay, we did.
Did you do number 2?
Which one is it?
First air field.
Oh, we were just...
Okay, talk to us about first air field.
Well, we went policy approach for 8 and a program approach 6.5.
6.5? I guess you can do that.
Partly because it raised a lot of questions. The idea was... It almost seems to be an either or, a mixed use, although ideal, I think it would be great, but not to the exclusion of some of the economic development or possibilities that one or the other would do.
So when I look at this thermometer here that you've given me, it makes me think, let's have a policy setting that allows us to take advantage of change if it's presented, but let's be a little bit slow to try to initiate it.
Mm-hmm. Yes. A lot of the issue we had was funding. I mean, it's this lead preparation. It's like, why is the city going to be leading preparation of something that's private property?
Now, that's part of what we do is planning, you know. And actually, as we talk about some of these other things, I think we may We may get into that conversation about master planning and helping to facilitate conversations that wouldn't otherwise occur unless the city were to lead it on. So.
When we say lead, we hear spend money. So yeah. That was our hesitation.
Yeah.
Okay, makes sense. Yes?
So, like, there's definitely a big difference in spending, say, like, the spending that the city would do to just kind of work out the feasibility of doing that versus, you know, paying to bring the whole project to completion.
Mm, yeah, huge difference. Yeah, and I imagine that those programs are more oriented to the former.
Okay.
You know, how do we get that conversation going and figure out who's going to be doing what rather than actually commit to spending city money to build stuff? I don't see that as part of the conversation. Okay, anybody else touch number two?
We had 3 in policy and 2 in program.
3 in policy and 2 in program. So you're saying let the market pretty much deal with it.
Yeah.
Okay. Anybody else? Jeff?
I'm concerned that if, you know, we may be overestimating the potential of the airport if there's a use change simply because with the gas line and all the critical areas, it's going to get so chopped up there won't be much left. I think that needs to be a reality pill when you guys look at the airport. Understand Leland said, you know, use change is, they were favoring that just from the economic standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
But there's probably not going to be much land left after the tree huggers get done with it.
Okay. Did you write down some notes to that effect on number two? Okay,
yeah.
That's great. My memory is kind of short, so I need to have that prompt.
Are you referring to the wetlands when you say tree huggers?
Yeah,
all the
all
buffers.
That.
And, okay.
Well, maybe we maximize that and add it as a park and include it.
Mm-hmm.
Plan for that if you already know it's wetlands.
Right. Any other thoughts on two from the thermometer side of things?
We went way on 8s and 9s with ours and envisioned it as another part of the grid when you're going to update like 179. Possibly have a medical center and add this as another walkable retail and or hotel and housing area.
Up here?
Where the current airfield is. From the sounds of it, he's not able to use it like they can at Tarby in Snohomish. It doesn't have the potential to do that.
No,
so if it's really hindering things, we were in favor of working with the landowner to rezone it.
All right. Number three. Everybody's favorite. So, who wants to talk to about number three?
We were very supportive of it. We just, everything pretty much was a thumbs up.
So you were leaning toward the thumbs up on the maximum or on the...
Both policy and program. Yeah, I think that is one of the most underutilized parts of this community with
mm-hmm.
the most potential.
Okay. So where do I put my dots on your thermometer?
Well, we had a 10 for policy.
Okay. No compromise there.
No, and a 10 for program. We just feel very strongly that is all of these ideas were viable.
Okay.
And much needed.
All right. You know, one of the things that those of you who worked on number three, you probably saw a series of ideas on how that can be achieved. One of the more radical ones is taking another look at Al Borland Park and how we can tie that more closely to the downtown. Limitations on what could be done in terms of rearranging that landscape because it is in the floodplain and it is part of a critical area, so there are some ecological issues we need to be aware of, but still trying to make it a more friendly place and one that's more accessible to downtown is pretty important. Components of that one. Just bringing that up. Other thoughts about Skycomish Greenway? Anybody else touch that one?
We directly no, but it came up on 2 or 3 of the other. There was connection.
Right.
So I think.
And you know that's one of the reasons why we got stuck, because it's hard for us to look at any one of these components without understanding the context of another or another two or another three. So. This is really going to be helpful. Yes.
We did that also number three.
Uh-huh.
And we stack up pretty strongly. We're at a 9 in both counts.
Okay.
You know, I personally just feel like the downtown can only have so much energy to it as long as Al Borland remains a scary place.
Mm-hmm.
So that's
okay.
I think if people are going there, it has to have something to go there. I mean, there is a trail, but you can only walk those same trails so many times, you know? It's nice.
One of the trails
is
kind of falling into the river.
So, like, supporting it is one thing, but actually, you know, those pieces of what's going to bring people down there is people are into dogs, people like to ride their bikes, they like to have their kids go play on playthings. Like, there has to be things for them to do.
You know, it's a floodway. And so change is just part of the dynamic there. And, you know, that's going to have to inform however it's planned out. Okay, anybody else touch 3? All right, let's move on to number 4 then. Did you guys do number 4? Now, I'm looking for Mark. You guys touched it? Okay. So what do we do with the fairgrounds?
No, we didn't touch.
But I see some pen strokes on there, don't I?
No.
Number 4. Okay.
The pens didn't work on these pages very well. So.
Oh, sorry about that. Actually, that's just the pens that we gave you guys.
Yeah, each pen's.
They didn't want you to write on those.
Yeah, if you had one of these.
Yeah.
Did you guys touch 4?
No.
Of course you guys did.
Of course we did.
Okay, so what did you come up with? So talk to me a little bit. Minimum, maximum?
We were pretty high. We were at 9s on both. We did have a question about the policies discouraging uses on nearby properties that may impact or be sensitive to existing or future fairgrounds. I have a question mark there. It didn't make a whole lot of sense to me. Mm-hmm. And the other issue is the fact that the fairgrounds is there, but there are no sidewalks anywhere around the fairgrounds, and that is a big issue. I think as living right over there, and people are using that all the time, people are just running across the road. Yeah. You know, they really have nowhere to walk.
Okay.
I think it's a huge issue,
and
I don't know who. Yeah, it's all written down.
Okay, thank you.
I don't know who has the responsibility of that or not, but. It needs to be
addressed. Yeah, that's a good point. And the conversations have been ongoing about how we get circulation, at least on the Highway 2 side of the fairgrounds. But it's a tough one. I mean, the fair needs to have access control, so they have a gate and
right.
can control entrance to their property. And sometimes that doesn't always work consistently with what the city's goals might be. In terms of integrating that facility with the rest of what's around it. So it sounds like what you're talking about then in terms of policy and action items are to engage with the fairground pretty aggressively to get mutual goals met. Okay, are there other thoughts? Yes, Jeff.
Yeah, my understanding is the fairground is sort of a profit center for the county, even though they're supposed to recirculate funds internally. I think the county looks at it as a cash cow, and as a result, I think they're going to push to develop it to the greatest extent possible without much consideration of how it affects the world. We do get the economic benefit of increased traffic as they do more things, but it doesn't seem like they pony up much to help mitigate that.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's something I don't know if there's a way to do that, but to get them to pony up some dough to help with the impacts they create, even though they provide economic benefit.
Okay. And that kind of would transform the relationship between the city and the county as far as the fairground goes. So I imagine that if that's the thread that you were looking at, that your thermometer ratings are probably more on the right side of the sheet than on the left.
We were heavily conflicted. We were in 5.
So it was an ambivalent 5. It was a dynamic 5.
Yeah.
High amplitude 5. Okay. Is that both programs and policies?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to put a little asterisk on that. Anybody else have guidance for us on number 4? All right. So, number 5? starting to close in on this. Kind of trying to find an opportunity for another little node in town, taking advantage of connections to the Skycomish Gateway, taking advantage of the school district's hopeful and impending reinvestment in the Park Place Middle School, looking at ways to accentuate the Main Street corridor. Nice little stamp of, hey, this is a cool spot. Not that I'm trying to promote any policy direction or choice or anything. So where did people come out? Five. Now, I know Rick and Wayne, you guys touched it.
We did. That was the first one we did. We kind of
We got 3 and 4.
3 and 4. Talk to me about that.
Actually, the policy was a 4, and the program was a 3.
Okay. Okay. So help me out. Tell me a little bit about where that came from.
Well, when we talk about this node, like right here at the intersection, Wayne was concerned about it's pretty tough to get to the river from this intersection. So maybe on the west end or the east end of Main Street, we focus on access there, but not spend too much time focusing on it on this end because it's not that simple.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not simple.
And then kind of focused on keeping the policy the same on Main Street, between Main Street and here, and not really spend a whole lot of time on trying to make even a node at this intersection with the school.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So if you want to concentrate your investment, maybe do it in other places, not so much here.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm talking around about this site we're sitting on right now. This is pretty much a bulldozer job, and putting 60 mil on this piece of property seems kind of foolish. And I think if he were pressed, he might agree with that. They would probably rather be up on the hill if there's any possibility. And it could be, in order to replace this joint, he said they need like 30 acres or so. It'd be a lot easier to get up there and a lot closer to the population that would use the school, making this expendable and open to the market to use, which then would automatically create a node to serve the population. So I think it would be better for this site to go away. And we talked about a lot of the sites around town that the school district is going to do a lot of driving of the next 20 years in regards to this comp plan because they control so much of the property that has the potential, especially to meet the population forecast that we know the critical areas on North Hill are going to keep from happening. So.
Okay. And did you try to reduce that to...
I would hire Ralph for a week or two when he retires. It may be too late because he would be helpful in this process. Because they have the site over that's along the river we're talking about, connecting downtown. That may be one of the only practical ways to do this through their property. So they control so much property, and there are alternatives out there that would maybe make some of their properties expendable if they were given alternatives. Mm-hmm. All they want to do is make sure they make good schools for kids.
Right.
And if they can do that, they'd walk away from this place in a heartbeat, I guess.
Okay.
And they'd be
smarter.
Well, I disagree with that in the strongest possible terms. I mean, I spent a whole year going through the facilities plan with the school district, who was on the steering committee, and at no point did Ralph say anything remotely like that. He's going around speculating about that. It's kind of interesting. But there are a lot of people that walk to Park Place Middle School. I mean, there's a lot of demand to go to the school. They have to turn kids away to Hidden River. I mean, like all of Monroe would probably go to middle school here if they could. The people that are close that can walk get priority. A lot of those people don't have cars and don't have the resources that there's a feeling here in Old Town that somehow all the money seems to get spent for amenities, you know, kind of out on the fringes. And I know that a lot of that is mitigation of these, but like in downtown, we still have the same old sidewalks, a lot of which aren't handicapped accessible. There just haven't been updates. Mm-hmm. And, you know, at no point did we discuss moving the middle school away from the downtown area. In fact, we discussed, you know, some of the negative repercussions of having the high school so far away from the downtown area. So, yeah, I mean, I disagree with that in the strongest possible terms. We highly prioritized this to the maximum. We did 10 in both accounts, both in policy and program approach, just feeling that the downtown is really important and that integrating the kind of greater Park Place area into the rest of the town is very important. Like right now it's kind of an eyesore to drive by. It's, in a lot of ways, it is a gateway to Vermont. What you see, I mean, the, across the street, the elementary school has some nice features, but it's just not so attractive.
Yeah, it's kind of in a transition space between
the
more...
I think it's worse as you come further in. Like, this is actually a little bit nicer, and it's more all the different facilities that the school district has. This is actually probably nicer and more fit. I don't know if you've had anything to walk to hold into property, but it's not something that you would want to send, you know, your kids going into the sixth grade. Although, in the world, a lot of parents still want to send their kids here, but they don't want them to get buses. And I really think that we owe it to the kids to gather.
Thanks. So let's go on to number six.
No,
oh, yes. Oh, you did.
We actually have. We worked on this one. Listen,
okay.
We worked on it. But for your docs there, our policy was 6 and our program was 7.
Okay. Sounds considered.
Because we recognize, I mean, I know one of the things even talked about a program concept of 179th. All along the way, and you made a note there, sidewalks, for example.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, you mentioned earlier on this topic that the discussion is about it's hard to get to the river from here. I don't know if that will become easier or not when Cadman is done with some of that property.
Mm-hmm.
So there may be some opportunities there that we don't see today. Mm-hmm. So that was part of why we were. But I don't know how.
Yeah, I mean, it's not all that close, but it's also under single ownership.
Right.
Right.
So, like I said, there might be some opportunities there to, so that this end of the river could have certain activities, different activities than over there at the Al Borland end of the river, which might have different activities. So it might be talked to this end with a lake. Maybe you'll have RV park or overnight camping or something, where at the other end is more, I don't know, fishing or who knows what.
In the world of trail planning, you try to plan loops.
Yeah.
You know, so you look at mile loops. So you, a lot of times, some of the more successful trail plans that you'll see, they have these circles to do it. And so, yeah, you'd want to have 2 or 3 trail entry points along the stretch of the river, so you get that opportunity for entry and exit in a variety of places. Yes?
Just a comment on the Cadman site. We talked about that we think that the site is prime recreational property that I think would using it as an RV site would not be putting it to its full potential use. And that thinking that we need to be looking at that a little more openly and not just looking at it as an RV site.
Mm-hmm.
That we can kind of, you know, think about the trails around the lake, similar to Lake Tahoe, or I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
There's
kind of
acreage there that something might be able to be done with.
Open that up a little bit so you can have another, maybe more current conversation about that.
Yeah.
The only advantage you might have with RV is that would be a developer expense. If a developer says, hey, I'll do it, but I want to put RVs,
Yeah.
At least it's money coming in to do it.
Okay. Did you assign one to 10?
We had 6 for policy approach, 5 for program approach.
Okay. All right. So let's hit number 6. Did you guys do this one?
Yes, we did this.
Excellent. Okay.
So our stars are 9 and 9. Couldn't convince him to do any 10s.
I don't give 10s out. I mean, I know it's not an evaluation, but yeah, I just.
But
it was very high. Very high.
Everything we were marking was over on the maximum side because downtown just isn't going to solve itself.
Okay.
It's going to take, and the existing policies aren't working. So it's going to take some significant changes. I felt, even added a couple notes about, because there's nothing in here, I think it would be encouraging to have high population centers around downtown to give a population base and a customer base to what would then become shopping in that area, walkable shopping. And you can't, you know, there's not enough room for people to park, so if you can, so that was one of the things, was to encourage high density housing in and around downtown as part of that support, and other just policy changes to try to encourage that, you know, development of those communities.
Okay.
I don't know if it's possible to make policy legally, but one policy we'd love to see if you can is to encourage local ownership of the buildings in downtown. And say you can't mandate it, but is it something that could be encouraged with tax breaks or other things? I don't know.
Yeah. Okay. Any other thoughts about downtown and Kelsey? Yes.
We also, it's a top priority for me personally because I've been so heavily invested in downtown trying to make it better. But we both gave it 9s.
Yeah,
we did. Beyond the word, you were 10, but I'm with you on that. But one of the things that I think is really important that I haven't heard be addressed yet is the poor lighting, like right at the corner of Main and Lewis. Mm-hmm. Like, sometimes people barrel through there, especially after dark, when there's pedestrians in the sidewalks, and you can't really even see them. So
right.
That needs to be addressed, as well as now we have an arcade, a place for kids to go downtown, and even older kids. And I thought that even since when Sam's was there, I would park across the street and hobble on over, jaywalk through traffic. There really should be a sidewalk there as well.
Right.
And you know, those flashing light sidewalks you see around different communities, they would be ideal right there on Main and Lewis.
Lewis Street generally is pretty dark. I pull out of the driveway. When I pulled out of the driveway just last week, there was one of the local meth heads actually ran into the side of my van right there as I was pulling in the driveway. She just didn't, it was really pretty dark. And she was high, and I think to the side of my van, and I don't know.
Well, and not to but we also think that it's fairly important to have a really good relationship between the city and the chamber. Because I think the chamber, there's a lot that they can do to help promote downtown, especially with
crosswalks. Did you make notes about lighting and stuff in your?
Yep.
Okay, great. Thank you very much. Any other thoughts about downtown and Highway 2 commercial?
We were 6 and 6 on that.
Okay. You want to talk to me about that?
Well, I think we were kind of all over the board on our. What we have going on here, but I think basically one of the most important things that we thought is that the city's involvement with really promoting that is pretty important.
Mm-hmm. You know, there are
not really doing it on its own.
Right, and there are lots of ideas that were kind of on that page, and maybe there are some things that really struck a chord with people, and maybe there are some things that weren't very attractive. And so, you know, so I can see where a more moderate score comes in light of some of those things. And so I hope that you've taken some time to note some of the nuance that came out in your conversation on your sheet so I can understand why some things sounded good and why some things may not have sounded so good. Because we are looking to make as specific a set of recommendations as possible. So, I mean, in that one we talked about a business improvement district. You know, maybe some people think that's a great idea, where businesses and property owners actually pay some money to take care of some of these things, ongoing maintenance, clean team type of a thing, or marketing, or some promotional events. But maybe some people aren't so keen on that, because that's, you know, another cost that businesses have to bear. So anyway, so please make notations on your sheet. Wow. Okay. So you did a pile of work. So please give yourselves a hand. You know, I said it was going to be intimidating and that I wasn't lying. So please, thank you. Thank you very much for the work on that. So what we're going to do is we're going to digest some of this information. I think that we have, you know, some pretty good ideas on where we might want to go with some of these items. Others are maybe a little bit more ambiguous for us, and we're going to have to work through that, but we will. And we'll pull together a draft here over this next month and deliver that to you to take a look at. So you'll actually be able to see the fruits of all of your work over this last year. So where are we in terms of next steps and schedule? So in December, we're producing a plan draft. Then we're going to go to the Planning Commission, the Park Board, for review. We'll take comments from those two groups. And then we'll circulate it to the State Department of Commerce. We'll issue a draft environmental impact statement, and we'll get it to PSRC, the great regional PSRC. They are the metropolitan planning organization that doles out transportation dollars. So it's important that what comes out of this plan matches up with their overall regional vision 2040. So we have to send it to them so they can take a look at it and make sure that our goals and objectives are in sync with theirs. And they are. So it shouldn't be that tough of a hurdle to clear. Then we're going to go on to City Council, and we're on track to make our June adoption deadline. So, great work. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Do you have any questions or thoughts before we break? All right. Well, thank you very much. Do appreciate it.